welcome to A Word from Our Outpost
with Joseph and Crystal Gruber,
a podcast for Catholic disciples who are wrestling to be missionary-minded in their normal everyday lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Direct, O Lord, our actions by thy holy inspiration, and carry them on by thy gracious assistance, that every word and work of ours may begin in thee, and by thee be happily ended. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It feels like a truism to say that I want to be with people who are compatible with me. And it is true. I do want to be with people who are compatible with me. But in the common usage of that word, it doesn't feel very meaningful. It doesn't feel very attractive or even all that difficult to find someone with whom I'm compatible. It seems like such a bland word on the face of it that it seems hardly even worth asking the question, am I compatible with this person or that, whether in a romantic or in a platonic way. I think what is lacking is an appreciation for the depth of the word, as well as the heights to which it takes us. So I'd like to offer a few words as to the depths of the word compatibility and the heights to which it calls us. I'll begin with a definition from Merriam-Webster. It defines compatible as capable of existing together in harmony. Ah, that sounds nice. I honestly do think that sounds nice. I value organizational health. I know my wife does. It sounds like a good thing to be harmonious, to say, you play that instrument, I play this instrument, you play these notes, I play those notes. They're different instruments and different notes, but it's the same song, honey. I like that. It's a little bland. So where does the depth come from? We'll start there. When we look closer at the word, we see two of the roots, com, meaning with, and the patible comes from passio, which is one way of rendering it would be to suffer. And so the depth of compatibility comes with our ability to suffer with someone. Our ability to suffer with someone is the mark of how compatible we are with them. Are we fair weather fans, or will we stick it out to the bitter end? For me to be able to say, I would rather suffer with you than be without you, that seems to be the test of the depths of compatibility. To say, whatever the worst thing is that we're going through, the fact that we are going through it is more important, more meaningful, more treasured, and more needful than any other pleasures or any other kinds of scenarios I might possibly be in. As the depths often are, this sounds a little dark, and maybe we don't see necessarily its immediate attraction because we have an instinctual reversion from suffering. But I think we know in our heart of hearts that when I am suffering, when we are suffering, we desire those around us to be able to say, I'm here for you, I'm here with you. And so this calls us out of ourselves to say, when someone else is suffering, do I have the kind of moral fortitude to say to them, I am here, I am not leaving? That is the depth of compatibility, the height to which compatibility calls us. The other way of rendering passio, the way to understand it, this is where we get the words passion and passionate, impassioned. When we talk of our desires, these are things that we suffer because they come upon us from without. We desire food and comfort and sex. These things come from without us, and they are totally for us. And so right away, we can see that those passions will not produce compatibility because they are so self-focused. They don't invite the other. So there is no with when we're just talking about those passions. So what then is left? When we truly are passionate about the things that draw us out of ourselves and into larger reality. I came across this passage in a book called Liturgy and Personality by Dietrich von Hildebrandt. I was reading this afternoon in the chapter The Spirit of Communion in the Liturgy. Page 26 in my copy. It's a bit of a long quote, but I think it's worthwhile. Quote, "For we must not forget that values possess a unifying power. And the higher the value in question, the greater this power. In beholding a value," and when Dietrich von Hildebrand is talking about value, he's talking about our perception of the intrinsic worth of something, the goodness of it, the desirability for its own sake of something. So ultimately the transcendent in that which we see. So in beholding a value, in grasping it, the soul of the individual is not only recollected, drawn out of distraction, but the barrier isolating him from other men is lifted. Every true value, such as the beauty of nature or of a masterpiece of art like Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, or the moral light of a generous act of forgiveness, or of an immovable fidelity, all these values speak to us of God and touch our hearts, draw our spirit toward the true world of God, lead us before the face of God, and thanks to them, thanks to these values, the barriers of pride, egoism, and self-assertion, which isolate us and make us look upon our fellow men from without as adversaries and competitors, these fall away. End quote. To go back to the beginning, for we must not forget that values possess a unifying power. And it's this sense of compatibility that draws us to the very heights of human experience. Our desire for the true, the good, and the beautiful will draw us together with others who desire the same thing. And so if I want a spouse with whom I am compatible, if I want compatible friends, yes, I should get along. Yes, I should desire harmony. But that should be in the context of the depth, which is saying to another, whatever suffering you or I are going to go through, we will go through it together. And also in the context of the height, which is to say, the highest things, I am going after those things with you. I want to pursue the good, the true, and the beautiful with you. And so that invites introspection within myself, and hopefully within you, dear listener. Am I such a person who values rightly goodness and truth and beauty? Am I a person who will not run from suffering when my beloved is suffering, but will remain, even when remaining is the only thing that I can do? And if I'm not yet that person, I may be doomed to a life of loneliness, unless and until I recall that there is one who has taken compatibility to its uttermost depths, one who said, I will suffer with you to the bitterest of ends, one who, though it gained him nothing, was willing to say, I would rather suffer with you than be without you, who did so that he might show us the very highest of heights. If ever I think that I cannot be the compatible spouse or compatible friend, I need only look into the face of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, for whom all things are possible.
Take my hand and let's be on our way. And now finally I can say that I love you. Yes, I love you.
From our outpost to yours, thanks for listening. And a special thanks to John Mark Skoch.
That's S-K-O-C-H.
For the music.
Check him out on Spotify.